My name's Ollie Taylor and I'm here at Gloucestershire Archives with John Davis. And John's very kindly brought in a photo of a machine built by Fielding and Platt. John, looking at this photograph, can I ask you what this machine is, please?
Yes, this is another DDI machine. Capacity, I am not quite sure. It might have been slightly larger than 125 tonnes, but I can't be too sure about that. It looks a little bit more modern in the previous than the previous picture, but once again, the principle was very, very similar. And the interesting part, I suppose, here are the two gentlemen at the front. They're obviously looking at a closed-end cylinder that's been produced on this machine. And the white-coated gentleman was that foreman, Owen Feltham. And the guy in the suit and tie and looking a bit very much like Frankie Howard was Martin Rich. And he was a salesman, but he did deal a lot with promoting these DDI machines and helping sell them around the world. Now, I'm not quite sure where this is. I think it would be at Fielding's because Owen, being the shop foreman, didn't normally travel to the site. So I guess this is probably still at Fielding's somewhere. Now, the guy on the controls there, I'm not quite sure who that is. One name comes to mind, it was Richard Evans. And the... I was trying to think who else it might have been. There was a guy, fitter, called Trevor Lawrence, but I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure. I could be corrected. It may not be either of them. But
perhaps someone can help us out with who the gentleman on the back left of the photo is. But thinking about Owen Feltham and Martin Rich, John, what do you remember of those two?
Well, Owen and his son came to work at Fielding's as well, and but Owen was he was a great guy. He was a fitter before he became the foreman. And I understand he was a very strong-armed gentleman, and I don't mean that in he wasn't a bouncer at a nightclub or anything like that. But I understand that he would stand alongside a bench, and he would put his arm on the bench, and he would get an apprentice to stand on his arm, one foot down near his wrist and the other up near his shoulder, and then he would just lift him off the bench in one arm like that. I never saw him do it, but I understand that it was like his party trick. Now Martin, he was a real foolhardy character, and I mean, I say he could have been the brother of Frankie Howard. He had a real sense of humour, and if you went anywhere with him in his car, it was a bit horrendous because he was his own man on the road. And he didn't, whether he picked up any speed fines or dangerous driving or what, I know not, but it was a bit frightening to go anywhere with him. But unfortunately, he died fairly young. He lived up at Paradise up near Painswick. But, yes, nice, both great gentlemen.
And just coming back to the operation of the machine itself, we can see an open gap in the cylinder in the middle of the machine. Is that where this closed-end cylinder would have come out of?
Yes, it'd been identical at either end. And I'm just trying to think what that device was there. I think that was for probably tightening up a stack. Because these dies, they're obviously reducing in size each time, and you add an ironing process as well, where you put a smooth finish on the component, and I believe that those little slots around there with a locking device at the top was for tightening the die setup.
That's fascinating because it does look like a cog, that central diameter there on the machine. So thanks for explaining that for us, John.
Just while you're on about, I said these two great gentlemen, We helped interview a man the other day, a 90-year-old, and he said that there were many gentlemen at Fielding's. He said whether they were gentlemen before they went to Fielding's or whether Fielding's made them gentlemen, I'm not quite sure, but I think it was probably the latter.
That's lovely, John. Anything else you'd like to add about this photo?
No, I don't think so. Probably if my memory was better, there would be something. But no, I think that'd be better make that do for now.
And just actually, sorry, before we close here, thinking about the deep drawing and ironing presses, so there were two distinct phases to what the machine did. Firstly, it would take the billet and shape it. That was the drawing process. And then the ironing process was actually the finish put onto the closed cylinder that came out of the billet.
No, but it was all part of actual process. It went through a series of dyes, and I can't remember exactly what the ironing dye did, but it did actually produce a smooth finish. But no, it wasn't done. It wasn't done at a later stage. The only thing done at a later stage, if you were producing oxygen bottles or aqualung bottles, it was a separate process completely to close the open end in to make the shape that was required. But that wasn't done on the DDI machine.
What machine was that closing process done on?
Well, we didn't. Fiona's never made any of those. That was something completely specialised that we didn't deal with.
Thinking about other companies that may have done DDI, did you have any competitors in the field of deep drawing and ironing, or was Fielding's really the market leader?
Well, I suppose there must have been others, but once again, my memory fails me. I'm not quite. No, I can't really answer that question. I just can't. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Again, hopefully someone listening to this will be able to help us out. Thank you ever so much, John.